Ladies and gentlemen of the Monday Madness podcast. Oh my god, I've just broke it. No, what have I done? No, my studio, my comics, are we alright? That's ruined it. Oh well, good start, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the number one podcast in Deeside ever, okay? And you're probably wondering, Ross, you've got all these other podcasts. Why should you watch mine? Why should you watch and listen to the Monday Madness? Well, there's only one reason, because a lot of these podcasters, there might be a lot of them, but do you know what I am? I'm freaking trained, mate. I'm trained in theatre, son. I'm trained to talk about anything at a moment's notice. And who are you going to watch? Some, like freaking Love Islander from 3 years ago going, "Hi guys, today I went on Facebook and messaged my ex and he patched me. No, now I'm going to get my eyebrows done again. Happy days." No, none of that here. This is a professional actor doing a podcast. I'll have you know, professional, champion. I know what I'm doing. I can talk about stuff all day. So there you go. That's why you should stick about here and watch this, because it's better than everything else in the universe. So good stuff there. So today, you've already seen the freaking time on this. That's correct. I'm not doing a 25-minute. We're going back up to the hour-long epic podcast today. We're going back to the hour-long. It's going to happen. Oh, you guys, and all my fans around the globe, an apology for my lack of uploading in the last few weeks. But today, I have returned, and we're going big, going big. Today's comic of the day is Gunslinger issue 4, which I almost smashed to bits in the opening 2 seconds of the episode. But it's here, it's fantastic, it's here to stay. So today, it is episode 35. 35 episodes. To be fair, I should be on like episode 40-something, like 47 or something, but I've missed like 12 weeks overall because I'm lazy, you see. But good news for you is that it's still going. Who else is making a podcast in this area? Who other actors are doing it? Professional actors. I'm like almost a year in and nobody else has done one because they're all terrified of my presence and my swag, and that's why they're not doing it. So today we've got a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, a lot to talk about indeed. Comic-Con at San Diego is kicking off. It's happening. And first of all, I would just like to say today is Saturday of recording this. By Monday, who knows, did Henry Cavill show up and announce to the world that he's back as Superman, like the reports say? Let's just assume, yes he did. Nice, can't wait for that. Fantastic, well done DC, bringing him back. Happy days, and what else? But I can tell you what happened yesterday, a wee bit of news for you. Nothing mainstream just now. I'll get into the MCU and I'll get into all the shows and that and the films coming as well. Don't you worry, I've got you covered. But right now I thought I'd just say that yesterday, obviously, you know, I quite like my comics. I think they look ace, and I also believe that the best stories in Marvel are from the comics. I think the original comic artists like Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, all these guys, I think their imagination was better than the current people running the films just now, as in they were geniuses. All these comic book writers and artists are just on another level of imagination than these guys. That's not a bad thing, it's just to say they're on another level. They're just the geniuses, all of them. Todd McFarlane, Mark Millers, all these guys, geniuses. And so the comic, there was a big comic announcement yesterday on the Spawn front here. I don't know if I've mentioned Spawn enough in this podcast, but I thought I'd say that last year he was like the top selling superhero comic in the world, and you know, there's a lot of people that like him still. He's still quite a big draw in the comic world, and they're pushing for a movie just now. They're pushing for a Spawn movie, and I thought I'd say that, guess what, they announced a new comic spin-off, essentially Spawn. Is Tom McFarlane is teaming up with Greg Capullo, Greg Capullo, another big comic artist, famous one, very good. And they're going to be doing it December. They're doing a one-off, like, double-sized issue of Spawn and Batman crossing over, which has happened, I believe that's the third time. They did it twice in the 90s, Spawn and Batman teamed up. But for the first time in years, like, the Spawn is going to be doing a crossover. DC are crossing over with Image Comics. And this hasn't happened in, like, crossovers with Marvel and DC. That happened in the comics, but it's been a while since something like that's happened. And Tom McFarlane rocked up to the big DC comic panel yesterday at the end and just announced they're doing a one-off special issue of Spawn crossing over with Batman, the team-up. And I think, boom, okay, I'll be getting that in December. Don't you worry, I will be getting that freaking comic book, I promise you. And it's going to be fabulous, and it's going to be sitting there in December. And at the end of it, they're also saying that this is going to be the biggest comic book. They're going to try and aim for it, the highest selling comic book of the century, which I believe it will get, because all the first new issues of Spawn that launched last year were all top 5, top 10. It's, I believe King Spawn, the first one, the big new Spawn series, was the number one highest selling comic book of last year, I'm pretty sure, first or second. King Spawn number one, it was massive, decimated Marvel and DC. So it makes sense that, but at the end he said at the New York Comic Con, Tom McFarlane has got a big announcement about the Spawn movie franchise. They're going to be doing a big announcement about the Spawn movie there. I'm very excited for that, because I think I was just wanting to say, the episode today, I'm going to be talking a bit about Marvel today, a little bit about the Disney Plus stuff, and just kind of where I think they're going with it. I thought I'd also say, I'm going to be talking about The Boys Season 3 as an example of what I think might happen, because I like my comics, and I think what happened in the comics 30 years ago is happening right now in the mainstream secretly, and it's only going to get worse unless Marvel just wake up and slow down a little bit. Because as you all know, or maybe you're not aware, that the new Thor film was a big stinker, okay? Like, Love and Thunder was the... when I saw it the first time, I liked it, but the more I think about it and the more interviews I see about it, the more I despise this film, and it just annoys me. I would like to say that the new Thor film, as it was a big fat stinker, the drop-off from the first to the second week in the box office was like the biggest fall in like the MCU ever or something. It was like 68, it made 68% less in its second weekend than its first weekend, the new Thor. So a lot of people didn't go back to see it, sadly. And Doctor Strange was roughly the same percentage, about 67-68, but that made more in its opening weekend than Thor did. I'm not sure the exact figures, but it did make more than Thor, and then that bombed as well in the second week, and now Thor's going to do the same, and it's doing the same, and the TV shows are going that route as well. I would like to mention, at one point I'm going to be talking about Moon Knight, how I think Moon Knight has the most potential to be one of the greatest superhero shows ever, but it is also the big, I believe Moon Knight is the biggest, exposes Marvel for the lack of talent that they actually have in the writing room. I think there's so much, out of all the shows, Miss Marvel could only be so good, and it was kind of, it couldn't really get any better than pretty good. It was never going to be a masterpiece of a show. You know, WandaVision was kind of getting there, and then it wasn't. And then Loki was okay, but it wasn't as mind-blowing as everybody thinks it is, in my opinion. I still think it sort of could have been, you know, it wasn't Loki's show. It was Sylvia's, the female Loki's show. It was hers, and it went into this nonsense. That bit with Kang at the end was quite good, but it was still, there was good elements to it, but I still think it was not as good as it could have been. But the one with the most potential to be an amazing show was Moon Knight, and it wasn't. it wasn't an amazing show. And I think, to me, that's when I saw that, I went, this is when I kind of realised Marvel aren't sort of working very hard to cast, to hire the right people in the behind the scenes to make these shows work like they used to. Like, Moon Knight could have been on the level of Daredevil or The Boys. If they, and remember that, The Boys, I'm going to be coming back to that in a minute, don't you worry. The Boys, I noticed something about The Boys' ratings compared to the MCU shows was quite exciting. But yeah, Moon Knight has the most potential to be a great show, and it was a lukewarm show at the end of the day. The first two episodes were spectacular. Moon Knight himself is a brilliant character. That, like, when he is Moon Knight, when he's in the cape, when he's in the suit, Mr. Knight was okay, but that doesn't count. He's got nothing on the original, the actual Moon Knight design. And I think that, you know, he was in that show for about 10 minutes most as Moon Knight. And every time Moon Knight was on the screen, it was the best moment of the show. However, they bottled it. they bottled it. Big time, because it was like, you know, you had one of the coolest looking superheroes, everything about it was comic booky, everything about it was just, if they just kept it simple, if they were genuine Marvel fans in the writing room that knew what they were doing, that show could have been a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 absolute masterpiece, if they sort of had the right mindset behind the scenes, as in the right work ethic or the right sort of, but they didn't, and they focused too much on Moon Knight. All these shows, just, yeah, there's a lot of talking about nothing, the effects aren't that good, and it just got really silly, and they went into gods fighting kaiju monsters instead of, like, you know, just focusing on Moon Knight himself. And it took away from Moon Knight, and they focused too much, I think, on the alter ego of Moon Knight. They focused too much on the split personalities, I think. Instead, like, there's allowed to be that, obviously, but they were too much time. Like, they took away his powers for, like, half the season. Like, two episodes and a half of the season, Moon Knight didn't have his powers. And it was a six-episode show. And there was just moments where it's like, they were trying too hard to make this Layla character as cool as possible and make her, like, Moon Knight's equal. And that's, like, to me, saying, like, oh, if it was a Hulk movie, go look at the 2008 Hulk movie. It's like, if he was about to beat Abomination, but then he doesn't do it and he's getting beat, and then She-Hulk has to come in and then saves him, and then they both take him down. And I'm just like, yeah, but it takes away from the Hulk doing it, because that was the whole point, and it would have been so much better. That's what happened with Moon Knight. I like it better, and Doctor Strange fell into the same trap as well. They're sort of, the heroes aren't, they're not letting the heroes solve the problem by themselves. They're letting other people come in and do it for them. Newer characters, the newer, better characters than the original comic book characters. Better characters. And they're just making a big mess of it, basically. I didn't, do you know, remember in the fourth episode of Moon Knight, there was an episode where, well, spoilers, by the way, I don't care. Spoilers, remember where he was fighting a mummy? Layla was fighting this zombie mummy creature. And the, do you know what would have been cooler than that? Moon Knight fighting that thing. But no, they made her fight it. And it's like, what's going on? Why isn't Moon Knight getting to do stuff? And they, because he's your coolest character you've, like, got just now. And they totally didn't have the fan geek mentality to go, this guy's cool, more of him. But no, 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 they tried to push this, the Layla character. And then they took away from Moon Knight as well, and it ultimately made him look inferior in some places, and it didn't make him as cool as he could have been if they had just gone Moon Knight by himself, and then second season bring in Layla, or they could have as her hero, and then maybe he can help train her, and then you get a whole season building her up, and it would have been much better, it would have been a better payoff, it would have been this, you know. But no, they had to rush it in the last episode and give her powers, and then she can use it straight away. But then the whole season is Moon Knight learning to control his powers, and, like, Stephen Grant couldn't fight for nothing in the first episode, and then took a whole season to find himself and become brave and strong, and then he's fighting at the end. But then Layla comes in, gets her powers, is amazing straight away. You see what I'm saying? And then it just sort of makes her look way cooler than Moon Knight. And it's like, but she ain't, because the Scarab, the Golden Scarab, whatever that character is like a Z-lister character in Marvel. Not even I have heard of this thing. And they tried to push her as this, like, as cool as Moon Knight. But you can't, because the creatives behind the show don't have as much cool imagination as the people that created Moon Knight back in the 70s. You don't, like, she's not on, many characters aren't on the same level as Moon Knight in coolness, and they totally dropped the ball. And I'm thinking, that to me is like, they had a whole new character, they could have done whatever they wanted with him. They had a whole Moon Knight, one of the coolest comic book and looking characters ever. And on the first two episodes, they were on to something. They let Moon Knight out, and they let him have cool moments, badass moments, let him steal the show at the end. And then the third episode, it wasn't quite as good as the first two, but you still had that awesome fight at the end, like the last third of this episode, where he, so you see him like breaking limbs, like Daredevil style. If it had stuck to that, it would have been great. If it had just stuck to that and built on it, and just had every week, Moon Knight had a big fight every episode, but then they focused too much on like nonsense and too much on these gods and everything. And I just went, you didn't need to do that. You could have just, because they just do that to sell more toys, essentially. That's the trap. If we make Layla a superhero, we can make toys of Layla. Oh, we can sell it. See what? And then we'll make a Khonshu toy. And then, Ahmed toy and all this. But it took away from Moon Knight. Shang-Chi fell into the same trap. There was too much going on. Like, Shang-Chi himself, the actor playing him, was pretty charismatic. He was quite a good character. But there were so many other characters round about him that were just as good as him. And it didn't make him look quite as special until he got the rings at the end. But even then, it was Katie that killed the monster with an arrow or something. Like, and it was like, why didn't he do it? like, as I said, it's like Spider-Man's about to beat the Green Goblin. And then Gwen Stacy comes out at the end and goes, got him! No, I know how to stop him. Listen, follow me, I'll show you Spider-Man. Exact same thing. Exact same idea. You see what I'm saying? To me, they're just too muddled. There's not someone in that room. They're not spending enough time on the script. There's not somebody in there like me or a big diehard Marvel fan that just goes, stop it, mate, give her own show. This is Moon Knight, show, make it about him, please. The Moon Knight fans, there's a lot of them. He's a cult character. He's been around since for like 50 years, mate. That's what we kind of liked, because he's cool as anything. They didn't know what to do with him. So yes, how's that? How's that for you? Sad times. But yes, so I thought, but having said that, let's look at another example. I'm going to look at another example for you of a show that just was a good show with cool characters. And what I'm saying about, in the 90s, there was a time where Marvel got really stale with their comics in the late 80s. They got really stale, quite boring, formulaic, guff, basically. And then what happened? The independent stuff started coming out, like the Spawns and all this kind of stuff. And then they started outselling Marvel and DC, because they started using better paper, they had the better artists, and it was just that they had this new technology. They could colour the pages in a new way, using computers to colour the pages to make them look more dynamic and cool. And just, you just had the better, it was just better. And I think what happens in the comics back in the 90s with what Spawn did is happening right now in the movies with the Boys leading the charge. It was more graphic, it was gory, but at the end of the day, it was good. It was a good show. And everybody enjoyed it, and it smashed Miss Marvel and Obi-Wan. Star Wars is in the same boat. They smashed Obi-Wan and Miss Marvel in the ratings, only behind Stranger Things in the ratings, in the watch time. And The Boys is, what, an 18-plus show? Whereas Stranger Things has got a wider sort of age rating, and it was chasing it. The Boys is outselling Marvel, is outwatching it. That's quite cool, isn't it? Very exciting stuff. But yes, so The Boys, let's talk about that for a second. Because unlike the Marvel shows, I finished The Boys, and although, like, the final episode sort of dropped the ball a tiny bit, it was still leaps and bounds ahead of what the Moon Knight finale was, and everything else that happened. The Boys, the difference is that The Boys was a really well-written show, and they obviously spent a lot more time on it. And it was, yes, it was a smaller budget. You could tell it's a smaller budget from the Marvel stuff, but there was a lot of time spent on it, and they really worked hard behind the scenes, and they had fun doing it. And ultimately, it outperformed the Marvel shows in the viewing figures. Miss Marvel get decimated, wasn't even in the top 10 of this Nielsen ratings. This thing about the top 10 most watched TV shows out of them all, and it tells you like the hours. Miss Marvel was, the first episode was 10th in the top 10, and that's a new Marvel show. Everything else wasn't. The Boys was second to Stranger Things. And it was in Obi-Wan, this is like the first week, was like 6th or something, 6th or 7th. Like, these big Disney shows were getting outperformed by one superhero show about freaking, and it was aimed at a more adult audience. It was gorier. Kids couldn't watch it compared to Marvel. All these families that could, the audience, the potential of people watching, more people watching Miss Marvel compared to The Boys was ridiculous. But it got absolutely destroyed by The Boys. Like, completely decimated. And why is that? It's because The Boys is really good. And The Boys Season 3 picked up so many new viewers than the first two. It's getting bigger and bigger, this show. And that's because people are getting tired of the average stuff that Marvel's making just now. And they're going, oh, here's another superhero show that's got a bit of a spin on it, but it's really good and it's got really good characters. And, you know, the fights are good as well, and it's got a spin. It's got fantastic actors in it. You've got Carl Urban leading it. Like, you've got someone as cool as him, as charismatic as him leading it. And it was just in another level of the other ones. The only passable Marvel one was Spider-Man No Way Home. That was the only one that was genuinely brilliant. Was a great Spider-Man movie. But that wasn't Disney that made that film. Don't be fooled. It was not. It was not Kevin Feige. That was Sony that made that. That was Sony's best writers, best filmmakers that made that. And it wasn't... It was not Marvel. It was not Disney. 100%. No way. Compare that to everything else. They let Tom Holland. They brought in Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield, but they didn't take away from Tom Holland's character. They added to it, and they used it as like a backwards origin story for him to truly become Spider-Man. They dropped the Iron Man Jr. storyline, they took away all his gadgets, they gave him his secret identity times 10, they gave him everything, and then at the end, they gave him the John Romita classic suit from the 1970s, they gave him the iconic original Spider-Man design that was used for 20 plus years in the comics. Like, that's it. When I think of Spider-Man, I think of the John Romita stuff. That classic look. The artwork over the films. Even Tobey Maguire. When I think Spider-Man, I think of the artwork. When I think of Marvel characters, I think of the artwork first before the live-action copy. Because that's Marvel. That is Marvel. That's the real Marvel. Where there's just more imagination and it's just better. And they've got years, decades of storylines there that are just so good. Like, I said something, like, on like YouTube today, I commented something. There was a thing, that a big poll that was put up by one of the Sidemen saying, there's three villains, who's your favourite? And it was like, Thanos, Darth Vader, and somebody else. That somebody else doesn't matter, I can't remember who it was. But Thanos got more votes by Darth Vader by like 3%. But the fact that he's on par with Darth Vader amongst this new generation blows my mind. And it also showcases that I think that the Marvel artists back in the day, in like the 70s, 80s, 90s, were iconic and were just as creative as the movie directors like George Lucas, just on a smaller scale amongst the Marvel fans we knew, like the Snap, the Infinity Gauntlet, all this stuff. That's been around for like 30 years, they've been doing that. And it was iconic amongst us comic fans. Iconic. Just that it was great storytelling, snapping his fingers, wiping out half the universe. That's just ace. That whole thing, that iconic snap. And then what happens? They put it in one film, one movie, they bring it to life in live action, they do Infinity War, the live action Infinity Gauntlet pretty much, they do it. And he does it, he does the iconic snap, it looks exactly like, the close-up of the gauntlet when he does it is exactly like parallel to the original artwork where he did it. It's the exact same angle, the exact same shot, the exact same close-up. All this stuff, and it's just like, once they unleashed it to the mainstream audience, now all of a sudden, Thanos is iconic, is just as big as Darth Vader just now, amongst us, because, and that's how good he was, and that to me just screams out how good and how creative the original Marvel artists were, and writers that created all that, the Jim Starlin, that's his name, Google him, legend, all these guys, they were just smaller scale, but amongst Marvel fans, everybody knew. It's been around for years. This has been iconic since, that's for years and years amongst the fans, amongst the geeks. And now it's mainstream. Boom. Everybody likes Thanos. Everybody loves it. But it's always been great. They just, now it was showcased to a much wider audience. All of a sudden, that's it. Now we know that they, and even Darth Vader is based on Doctor Doom, another Marvel character. Google that. That's true as well. Absolutely he is. And I just think it's fantastic. And it also showcases how the Marvel artists in Disney just now are nowhere near qualified enough to be writing for these characters in my mind. And the boys, you know, they're bigger superhero fans, the writers and that, than the characters, than the writers in Marvel just now at Disney. Like, Eternals was boring, Black Widow, boring, and Thor, disaster, Doctor Strange, nowhere near as good as it could have been. And Mark Miller, he's the artist that created, he's the writer, the comic book writer that wrote the original Civil War for Marvel. And he also wrote Kick-Ass and all these comics as well. And he was in a live stream with the Critical Drinker. And he said something, I just went, you're bang on, sir. He said he believes that the early 2000s, from 2000 to 2008, 2010, that, like 1998 to 2008, those 10 years were more important for Marvel films than the MCU from 2010 to now. And he says that, and one of the reasons he says that is because back then, they were bringing in absolute A-lister mega directors to direct those early Marvel movies. You had Sam Raimi that came in to do Spider-Man. And also, whilst this film wasn't very good, they still had Ang Lee come in, Oscar director, coming in to direct the Hulk. And whilst that film wasn't very good, and whilst it didn't, you know, they were still experimenting at this time with the Marvel films. They didn't figure out the formula yet. It was still, but they did bring in a mega super director like Ang Lee into Marvel to do a Hulk movie out straight, and he was still in the comic stage. And he said, back then, you had these big super directors that were coming in to direct the Marvel stuff. And he thinks that, And before that, you had these sort of, you had freaking, you know, all these directors. And now, he says the directors coming into Marvel now are just nowhere near. Like, Taika Waititi for Thor, he's a good director, but he's not a Sam Raimi. And I know Sam Raimi directed Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, but you could tell he had nowhere near the influence on that film that he would have liked. Like, his style was barely there. It was only there for a few scenes. You could see there was moments where his iconic style came through, but not completely. You can tell he was squashed. He was, you know, Matt Disney did say, you can't go too far with that. Whereas the original Spider-Man trilogy, he went all out in his style. Spider-Man 2, where he boots through the newspaper, like a comic book panel, comes through when he gets his powers back, and he's swinging along the New York skyline, he's back, and then as it zooms out, you realise it's a reflection in Doc Ock's glass sunglasses, and it keeps pulling out. All that stuff, that whole bit was just a one sequence, that for like a minute, and then it goes into the train fight. There was nothing in Doctor Strange near as good as that. There was moments where he went Sam Raimi, but they squashed them, and they're not letting, and then a lot of these directors, like Taika Waititi for Thor, it's just no one wants him to come near Marvel ever again, and he's supposed to be doing a Star Wars film. I wonder if that will still happen. I doubt it. I think Disney will remove him. He's a good director for his like niche, for his genre, but he can't pull that silly comedy everywhere, and he just ruined Thor completely. And I think, yeah, it's just absolute madness, just absolute crazy madness just now. But listen, it's all well and good, because Marvel could still turn this round if they just slow down, if they just stop making 50 plus shows a week for Disney Plus and just focused on like one or two a year instead, and just put all their resources into one instead of making hundreds. And just, you know, it'll give them time to fix the scripts and everything. Because I've seen Marvel, before. You know, Infinity War and Endgame, even at that time, there was cracks. Like, Captain Marvel was a bit of a stinker. And, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp, the second one, it was okay, but it wasn't mind-blowing, but it was still passable. Infinity War was a masterpiece. Endgame was great. It wasn't quite as good as Infinity War upon rewatching it, but it's still great. But before that, you had, what is it, all these films, you had Marvel couldn't make a wrong move. Thor the Dark World was the worst movie, and even that was like, compared to Love and Thunder, it was way better. Because, in my mind, Dark World had sort of something that saved it. It had a sort of like, you know that big strong thing? That big strong bodyguard that Malekith had? That cursed character, the super strong hulking alien thing that absolutely decimates Thor in a fist fight in that barren planet. Just Thor cannot hurt this thing. It was like, that was phenomenal, that moment. You know, there was moments there that was like, that's genuinely cool. There was nothing like that in New Thor. There was nothing. There was not even that. And there was moments in The Dark World, yeah, it was boring, but it wasn't a bad film. It was just an okay film. Love and Thunder, you could tell nobody cared making this film. They didn't care. You know, it was just like a, we can't believe we're getting away with this. Wow. That's what it was. And even in the interviews, you can see them sort of, Taika Waititi was sort of disrespecting the visual effects artist. And it's all coming out now that, you know, Marvel are overworking the CGI departments of all these companies. They're giving them far too much to do, and they're not getting to finish them in time. And it's, you know, and they hate sort of working for Marvel. It's coming out because it's just too much. They're being given too much to do. And I just think, like, compare the effects to Godzilla vs. Kong last year. Look at those effects compared to the Marvel stuff now, and you can see how good visual effects artists can be if they're given the right amount of time. That movie was in production for years. Years they were doing that, the special effects. They had years making that. And you can tell. The effects in that look photorealistic, half, like, almost every shot. Whereas now, there's a shot at the start of Thor Love and Thunder where you see Thor as a baby and, like, with and his mum's carrying him into battle. That's, like, almost Twilight-level bad CGI baby level. It was totally fake. Terrible. And it was just, like, you can tell they're just making too much. Even Disney, a company as big as them, they can't make millions at the same time because they're all okay. They're all okay. And then it's going to come to freaking, look at the new Thor. It's absolutely bombing at the, it's not bombing at the box office, but it's doing nowhere near as good as they wanted it to. And I don't think it'll hit about 700 million worldwide, which is a success, but they would have wanted this thing to cross a billion. It's going to make about half of what Top Gun's made, essentially. That's what I think. It's going to be, no one's going back to see it. I'm not going back to see it. Ragnarok was so good. But even Ragnarok had, like, Ragnarok sort of respected the characters and was actually quite a well-written film. Love and Thunder didn't know what was going on. They didn't know. Like, there was no plan to this film. There was nothing. And even the way they're talking about it, they can't talk about it. There's nothing to spoil in that film because nothing happens. It's just so, like, you know, just so average, and just there was no effort put into it, and you could tell it was rushed. And it's just like, that was Thor. That was Thor, one of the founding members of the MCU, one of the biggest, most popular characters from the comics. And they completely nuked it. Completely. Ruined it. And it was a disaster. It's just so bad. Like, even Morbius, I haven't even seen Morbius yet, and I can tell you, at least they look like they tried to make a good film. They tried very hard. They did try. You get that element, I guarantee you. But with this, there was nothing. You could tell they weren't trying. They were just having a laugh doing it. And yeah, they were doing that in Ragnarok at moments. Like, there was the improv moments, but there was serious moments as well. Like, the fight with Hulk and Thor was genuinely really good. And you know, when you had Surtur in it, and you had all these things, and the effects were really good. This one was like, nah, forget all that. You wanted good effects, you wanted good stuff. Nah, mate, nah, you're not getting it. You can have, there you go, some screaming goats for 2 hours. I'm going to use that joke about 50 times. Ha ha ha, funny stuff. Ha ha, guys. Nah. Wrong. Terrible. Shocking. Do better, Marvel. Do better. And then you look at something like The Boys, and it's crushing it in the viewing figures. It's decimating it. Do you know what's going to happen next? Think about this. The last two MCU properties were Doctor Strange and Thor. Two big heavy hitters in the MCU. Do you know what's next? The next movie is Wakanda Forever. It's a Black Panther movie without Black Panther in it. Do you think if Thor bombed, I hope one of these films, I hope Marvel absolutely hits rock bottom with these films. I hope that for just the sake of, I want them to wake up. I need something to absolutely bomb for them to just wake up and realize, right, we need to slow down here. And it has to be, I want this as soon as possible. So, I know She-Hulk's next. And I really hope that, you know, judging by everything, I know they're going to ruin the Hulk again in that show. For my birthday. How sad is that? Terrible. When that comes out, they're going to ruin him again. But, you know, that will be the next to bomb, I believe. It will sort of, won't live up to it. CGI won't be finished, all this and that. But Wakanda Forever, I want that film, and whatever's next, I don't even know, I don't even care. I need something. She-Hulk, I need Wakanda Forever. I'm sorry, Hulk, I need them to be a disaster in the ratings. I need them to absolutely bomb. Not because I'm evil, not because I want them to fail. I need something to just make absolutely zero pennies. I need everyone to just be, not go see it. You know, to make like half of what Thor did. You know, and I just go, that will wake Marvel up. That will be the reasoning. you're not at endgame levels just now. You're not at the levels you thought you were. Your films are stinky. Your films are stanky, and nobody wants to watch them. We're all watching The Boys instead, because it's good. Do better, Marvel. It needs to be a big wake-up call. And they need to go, right, we need to slow down here. We need to stop making 200 projects a minute to quantity over quality. That's what they're going for. Oh, we need to... Amazon and Netflix have loads and loads of shows and movies. Quick, we need to catch up. No, you don't. Make one or two brilliant ones and then you're fine. Listen, Netflix has got nothing but The Witcher, Stranger Things, Umbrella Academy's up there as well, but they've got so many guff that just you never hear about. You just have to do like one or two amazing things on Disney Plus, like the new Predator movie I'm hearing is actually really good, and this might be enough to sort of save Disney Plus a little bit and make something good for there. But other than that, you need that. You need a good Predator film, because nobody's watching anything else. Don't get me started on What If. That was disastrous. Ugh. And there we go. But listen. I love Marvel. And this has to be the tough love thing. We just have to say, something has to bomb for them to just go, okay, let's go away, rethink everything. Because you've got the X-Men coming, and you've got the Fantastic Four coming. In its current state, even these rumours about if the Hulk's coming and they're going to power him up. Listen, in Marvel's current state, I don't want them to go near these characters at all. I want them to go away and spend a few years just planning for these characters and just get it right and do what they did in the olden days. Phase 1. Remember Phase 1? We had 4 films in the first like 3-4 years, and then the 5th one was The Avengers. We had to wait 4 years in between Iron Man and the first Avengers film, and it was worth it, and it was huge. And now they're just going, everything, go, throw it all at the wall, go. And it's just not working the same way. Marvel's lost its edge. Nothing they're making just now has got anything on the first Iron Man film, or the Winter Soldier, or the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I will admit, the only one that I am hopeful for is Guardians 3, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And I say that because James Gunn has had extra years to think about that film, that trilogy. He so knew Adam Warlock was going to be in that film since the end of the second Guardians film. They teased him. And it's like, he got sacked. He went to DC, made a really good Suicide Squad movie, and then Disney bought him back because they realised how good he was. And then he came back to Guardians, and now he's had all this extra time to think about it. And if Disney don't stick their nose in and just let him get on with it and just let him make a great Guardians movie, because there's rumours going around. Obviously, yeah, you've got my hope is the Silver Surfer turns up in an end credit scene there. If I was like a space guy, if I was in charge of a big trilogy of cosmic people in Marvel, I go, if you want to cement your trilogy as one of the best in the MCU, one shot of a silver surfboard at the end credit scene, or a tease of the Silver Surfer, or you see him for a split second, you see him turn up or something, just the surfboard. Remember the end credits scene at the end of Iron Man 2 where we saw Thor's hammer for the first time? All you have to do is do exactly that, but with a surfboard, and it will blow everyone's minds. That's Phase 1 style. A little tease to tell you the surfer is coming. And that's how you end the third Guardians film. That will be the most perfect thing ever, and I will have total hope in Marvel yet again if they can just let us know that, okay, I can see you get the fans and there's something there and you're going in the right direction again. And hopefully, but even if he doesn't, we've still got Adam Warlock in that film coming in. And there is sliver of hope here, because you had Eternity showing up in Thor, Love and Thunder. That was the only bit that I went, that's pretty good. I liked that. More of that, please. And then you also had Celestials turning up in Eternals for the first time. That shot at the end where you see that Celestial hovering over the Earth, that was one of the most epic things I've ever seen in the MCU. But nobody brings it up. The Avengers haven't reacted to a freaking planet-sized god space thing just turned up and left. Like, that would have... Nobody's mentioned that in the MCU yet. It's disgusting. And it's just like, where's the plan? Where are yous going with this? Yous don't have one, do yous? Oh, yeah. And I think that... And you had, like, Pip the Troll and Harry Styles turning up at the end of that as well. But it's just like, what about... where's this going? And it just makes you think they're trying to open up to the cosmic stuff, but the right people just aren't in Marvel just now, or they're just making too much stuff to even... I just don't want them right now. Unless they get it right, I would like to see if Guardians 3 is a good Guardians of the Galaxy film, and they do Adam Warlock justice, and there's rumours going around that the High Evolutionary is going to be the villain in this film. If you don't know who he is, he's a big cosmic powerhouse in the comics, and he's absolutely ace. If you're going to take him down, you're going to need this... Adam Warlocks and stuff, that would be, watching Adam Warlock and all these characters take on the High Evolutionary will be absolutely epic. And also he's scrapped with Galactus in the past, the High Evolutionary, he's taken him on, so he's a powerful guy, and he's a very popular villain. You know, in the comics he's quite well known amongst the fans, but if you ruin him, like God, the God Butcher, they didn't butcher any gods except in the first second, and then kidnap some children. Ooh, that's what we want, isn't it, from the God Butcher? You did that with the Hulk. Want the Hulk to smash stuff? Tough, he's wearing glasses now and doing science. Oh, cool, that's what the kids want. No, it isn't. See what I mean? The people writing these films right now are, there's a lot of people there that aren't necessarily Marvel fans and aren't that good writers, and they just don't get it. Absolutely do not get it. I guarantee you, if I went around and recruited some diehard Marvel fans, we saved up all our pennies and bought Marvel and just made a Marvel film, and it was just all the Marvel fans, and we had some film directors or something to guide us in the right way, but we were there going, here, this is an idea, and just geeked out and made something cool. That's all you need. But they're not doing this, you see, because they're not real Marvel fans. Really, they're just film people that are quite good at their job, but not very good, and not Marvel fans. So, aye, there you are. There's your thing. That's for you to discuss later on. Give me a 5-star review, please, and subscribe and that. I was supposed to do that at the start, but I've forgotten, I mean. Yes, it's absolutely tragic. But listen, I don't want it to happen to She-Hulk, because I don't think I could bear the thought of seeing the Hulk bomb again in Marvel. I don't think I have the strength left in me to, but it's coming. It's totally coming. She's going to beat the Hulk in a fight in this show. 100%. It's going to happen. He's going to be scared. And there's rumours that the Thing, that Jason Segel, or whoever is going to be playing the Thing from How I Met Your Mother. Listen, guys, listen to me now. In Marvel's current state, there is no way they have the fan mentality to bring in the Thing to this show. And see if he is in it. He won't fight the Hulk. There is no way he's going to fight the Hulk. We've got Abomination in this show. Is he going to fight the Hulk at the end? I guarantee it. Listen, open goal. Moon Knight was an open goal. You've got a cool character. You could do anything with him, and they did nothing with him, right? They focused on other stuff, and because they thought, oh yeah, we're cool writers. We're going to subvert your expectations. Ha ha ha, no, you ruined it, mate. And now we've got She-Hulk coming. You've got Professor Hulk that nobody likes, right? Nobody in the comic days said, oh, Professor Hulk is my favourite incarnation of the Hulk. I love this thing. It's so cool. I love watching the Hulk wear a vest and do freaking calculations on his computer. That's what I want. No, nobody cares. And this is a show And bear in mind, this is 9 episodes this show, so think about that all you will, right? If Marvel somehow pour effort into She-Hulk and realise you've got nothing left, Captain America's freaking gone, Iron Man's dead, and Thor's been ruined, right? Your big three are gone right now. Who was the one character in the first Avenger that was more entertaining than all three of them combined when you let him loose one time, and it was the Hulk? If they have the right brains, they will use this extra night. The reason they're given this 9 episodes is, oh, we're going to bring the Hulk back. He's going to smash up Abomination at the end. There's going to be something happening to him in those extra episodes. We need to do something big with the Hulk. Are they going to do this, ladies and gentlemen? Do you think they're going to do this? No, they won't. They won't. It'll be some pointless reason. It'll be so boring. And the Thing will not be in this show. No way. No way. I'll believe it when I see it, Marvel. But right now, there is no way you're going to even think about putting the Thing in this show. And there's no way, even if he is in it, you're not going to let him fight the Hulk, are you? And Abomination's in this show. You've got the open goal. Right, nobody likes Professor Hulk. Everyone wants the Hulk to come back in the MCU. You've got Abomination going nuts. Who's the one character? This is the time. Guys, I'm the writing room for... But She-Hulk, right, guys, listen, listen, get my glasses on like that. Listen, listen, we have a chance here. Everyone, listen to me, I have an idea. There's the Professor Hulk, Abomination, Abomination baddie, right? If Professor Hulk turns into the real Hulk again and takes out Abomination at the end, we will all love Marvel again and we'll love the Hulk and we will... If we give the Hulk the most epic thing he's ever done, we will love it. Thanks. Well done, guys. Go do that. Then Kevin Feige turns around, and the Disney bosses go, no, actually, I have a better idea. What we're going to do is we're going to make him Professor Hulk, and he's going to die, and then She-Hulk is going to come back and stop Abomination and save the day because she is better than the Hulk is and stronger because she's the new character and we need to replace him. Well, well, I can't wait for this. And then Kevin Feige goes, yes, that is the best idea I have ever heard anyone mutter around this writing table. Are we all in agreement? And they all go, yes, Kevin Feige, fantastic, Mickey Mouse is buzzing, let's go do that. And they go and do it, and they go, I can't wait for everyone to love this show as much as they loved Thor 4. Oh my goodness me. Wow, I am so proud of myself today. Wow. Let's give them what they want. Yeah, that's what they're going to do. And do you know what, guys? Let's put the Thing in it. But do you know what? He's not going to fight the Hulk in it. He's going to come in, and he's going to have a date with She-Hulk. And then he'll leave. And that's it. That'll be it. I bet you that's it. If he's in it. You'll be on a date. And an end credit scene. And that's all you're getting. Okay. That's actually sad. I'm convinced that is what's going to happen. I've just said that randomly in an improv. And now I'm going, they're going to do that. They're 100% going to do that. Oh, no. And he won't even be the Thing. He'll be in human form before he's the Thing. And you'll just be there. You'll just see him for like 5 seconds. And he'll be like, oh, it's the Thing. No, it isn't it. Shut up. No. Oh my god. They're going to ruin it. They're actually going to ruin it again. No. They're going to Moon Knight this. They're going to Thor the Hulk. Ugh. They already ruined him. Pepper Potts did more in Endgame than the Hulk did. Think about that. Aha. You see? I came to this conclusion. And I couldn't, and I was very sad when I discovered, when I did my maths and went, she did stuff. She did stuff in the final battle. She shot things out her laser chest, and the Hulk, what did he do? He said one line, and he went, blah, 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 blah. I don't even know what the line was. And that's it, that's all he did. And also, he was getting crushed by a weight above him. He was going to die because the Hulk could barely lift this up and he was going to suffocate. What's going on? What is going on, guys? What's going on? Listen, normies. Listen to me right now. If you don't get this, what I'm about to say, go look it up and read about it, okay? The Hulk is supposed to get stronger the angrier he gets, okay? He's supposed to rise to the occasion of whatever he's doing. Rise up and defeat whatever is in his path because he's awesome. And then they made him that he was giving up because he was getting crushed and he was going to drown. And Giant Man had to save him. Giant Man had to save the Hulk. Ladies and gentlemen, Giant Man is not stronger than the Hulk in the comics, okay? It should have been the other way around, you absolute silly sods, Marvel. Why? Why? Why don't you understand this? Why doesn't no one get this? He's the Hulk. He's supposed to be the most epic thing ever. No one knows this. In the first Avengers, he punched that monster. That was it. More of that, please. And then they went, no, actually, now, what we're gonna do, guys, is we're gonna make him a giant human Mark Ruffalo. And he's going to wear t-shirts. But even before that, right, Iron Man's gonna knock him out. Cool, guys, okay. And then, listen to what I say. Then Thor, we're gonna lead it up that Thor's beating him as well. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my god, the Hulk fans are going to love us. And then, guys, I've got another idea. Right, ready for this. He's going to be in Infinity War, right? Thanos is going to knock the living daylights out of him in 10 seconds, right? And then we never see him again. Oh my gosh, yes. Oh my goodness, guys. Marvel, Kevin Feige's like, oh my gosh, yes, you are the best. I love this idea. They sat round tables for years and did exactly what I just did there. That's what happened. They made all these decisions and went, yes, do that. Yes, let's do it. Good, Hulk's gone. Endgame, and now he's just, and they're going to be like, and for a year after Infinity War, everyone was saying, can the Hulk come back and fight him at the end of Endgame, please? He doesn't have to beat Thanos, but just come back and sort of redeem himself. You know, like, what we want our superheroes to do when they lose something? They come back and rise to the challenge? That's a good message that we want to send to our children, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do that. I can't wait for that to happen. We were all in the comments. Yes, there's going to be a rematch with Thanos. The Hulk's going to do it. He's going to come back and redeem himself and do something epic. And he's going to go World Breaker. He's going to go World War Hulk and he's going to go absolutely ballistic. And then Endgame happens, right? They come back from the Soul Stone and Black Widow, his freaking bird, dies. And the Hulk, Professor Hulk, is like, oh my gosh, that Black Widow's dead, and he's raging, he's sad, right? He's getting angry, right? And then he puts on the gauntlet, and he says, this has got gamma radiation in it. I'm sitting in the theatre going, this is going to power him up. The gamma radiation, he's going to get extra gamma radiation, he's going to turn back into the Hulk again, and he's going to do the most epic things ever in the finale with everybody else. Everyone gets a moment, but the Hulk's going to do something crazy. He's going to get his powers back. He's going to be raging, angry as ever. The Black Widow is dead, and he's going to come back with a vengeance, and he's going to redeem himself. I'm sitting there going, yes, this is it. I sit there further. His arm is buggered. His arm is dead. And I'm going, he's not healing. Why isn't he healing, guys? The Hulk's supposed to have the greatest healing in the Marvel comics ever. Better than Deadpool's and Wolverine's. And then I'm going, wait a minute, now he's under this wall and he's struggling to hold it up and he's drowning. He's not changing into the Hulk, he's still Professor Hulk. What is going on, I wonder? Oh no, the battle happens. He comes in and I go, he's still Professor Hulk, but now he's got a dead arm. Oh my goodness, I can't wait for this. And then they run into battle and you never see him again. And that's it. In fact, you see Falcon shout at him at the end, get her back, being aggressive towards the Hulk. And I'm like, you shut up, Falcon. He could take you out with a flick of his finger, mate. And you dare talk to the Hulk like that. He's the reason your freaking movies exist. If he wasn't as popular as having Spider-Man, you wouldn't have a freaking MCU. So shut your face, right? Oh, my gosh. And now here we are, She-Hulk again. And Moon Knight, open goal. They had the chance to make a cool character really cool. And they did it for about 5 minutes out of like 3-4 hours of screen time. And they went, and the rest of it was, ha ha ha, funny jokes. Oh, unfinished CGI. Oh, fights, look, monsters, gods. Oh my gosh, that's what we want. Now it's going to happen again. It's called She-Hulk, I know this. You have Abomination in this show, and you have the Hulk, and he's still Professor Hulk. And there's rumours about the Thing coming in this show. He's not going to be in it. He's not going to be in this show, okay? He's not. It's going to be 9 episodes of She-Hulk going on dates, and Abomination's going to do nothing in this show, and the Hulk's going to get ruined, okay? He's not going to turn into the re-Hulk, the real Hulk. They're going to do something stupid where he goes, do you know what, She-Hulk? You're a better Hulk than I am. You should be in the Avengers. I'm going to go away and live in the tropicals for the rest of my life in peace. Sounds good. Can't wait for that show. Yes, I can. And you know what? I'm dreading it. It comes out near my birthday in like 2-3 weeks. And they're going to ruin the Hulk again for the 50th time. And like, now I'm like, what do I do with my life? Because my one childhood favourite is now being replaced by She-Hulk. My least favourite Hulk in the franchise ever. And I'm not too pleased with that, actually. I'm quite dreading that happening. So, on that note, I'm going to end this podcast. So, thank you very much for listening. You have a fantastic day. And when She-Hulk comes out, I hope it bombs, and I hope Marvel go, damn. And then Wakanda Forever bombs, and they go, oh my god, we're making no money, help us. And then Disney are like, well, you better make some better films then, shouldn't you? And then they go, yeah. And then they go do it. And then we get a real Hulk in the X-Men, after like 5 years of planning. They better do that. Oh well, bye everybody. Goodbye. I'm sorry for what's coming.